The cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ. Let's look at it very closely again. Now, in John chapter 19, Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross and he gave up the ghost. He died. But a soldier, after Jesus Christ died, a soldier did something in verse 34. If you are there, John 19:34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, the side of Jesus, and forthwith came there out what and what? Say it very loud. What and what? Blood and water came out. I was just sharing with my wife. I said, they pierced the side of Jesus. Water and blood came out. It's expected that only blood will come out. When somebody is dead, is struck by a sword, a spear like that, blood will gush out because we don't have water vessels, we have blood vessels. The blood vessel is punctured, blood will begin to rush out. But why was Jesus Christ on blood and water? John the Revelator, 1 John, let's open 1 John chapter 5, emphasized it again. 1 John chapter 5. Let me read it from verse 4. Let me read it from verse 4. John was stressing a point here. And this is what he said from verse 4. Can I read on? If you are slow in opening scripture, just listen. Take note of the scripture. When you go back, you can always read. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he, this Jesus is he that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. I say, anytime I read this scripture, I have always asked, why is John emphasizing this Jesus? He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. Not water only, but by water and blood. And it was in the early morning, this early morning, as I was just going through the scriptures this morning, that the Lord quickened an understanding of that scripture to me. Two things flow from the cross of Calvary: water and blood. They all pour to the earth. Water and blood. And these are the benefits of Calvary. The benefit of Calvary is water and blood. Or maybe let me say, what God released to the whole world, released to his children. What God released to his children through the cross on Calvary was signified by water and blood. And Apostle John emphasized, not water only, but water and blood. What is water? Water signifies abundant life. On the cross on Calvary, God released to us abundant life. Water signifies life. That is where we get healing in abundance. By his stripes we are healed. That is where we get prosperity. Hallelujah. He that was rich became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. That is where we get deliverance from the bodies of life. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we receive deliverance from all the bondage, the burdens and cares of this world that give frustration. Deliverance from frustration came through the cross of Calvary. That is what is signified by that water. John chapter 7. Can we open John chapter 7? There's a way the Lord Jesus, the scripture put it in John chapter 7. If you are there, verse 37. If you are there. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, if you are thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now verse 39 explained that to us. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, the Holy Ghost is also referred to as living water. So on the cross of Calvary, he released the Holy Ghost. He released eternal life. He released abundant life. He said, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But he, Jesus, came that we, his children, predestinated seed of God, whose names are written in the book of life, might have life and have it more abundantly. Water that was released on the cross on Calvary signifies abundant life. If you are not enjoying abundance of life, go to the cross on Calvary. The curse of poverty has been broken on the cross of Calvary. There is no sickness that is incurable. The cross on Calvary, by his stripes we are healed. For with God, nothing is impossible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You want eternal life, you go to the cross on Calvary. You want to live eternally, you go to the cross on Calvary. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The second thing that came out is what I'm going to emphasize now for some minutes. It's blood. What is blood? What does it signify? Blessed be the name of the Lord. It signifies the suffering that you will undergo for the decision you make standing with the cross on Calvary. The suffering that every Christian will undergo when you make a decision to follow Christ, there will be a suffering. That is part of the things that were released from the cross on Calvary. Blood. That is what that blood signifies. But not too many people catch that. Matthew chapter 10, if you read it from verse 34, read it down. The Lord Jesus always emphasizing, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. Can we read it? Matthew chapter 10. Because the gospel is misrepresented. And people don't even understand what the gospel is all about. And so, we meet people who just walk in confusion in Christianity without a proper bearing. They look at only the water side of the cross of Calvary. They don't look at the bloody side of the cross of Calvary. There was water and there was blood. If you are there, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but what? A sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Who was the person suffering, Sister Eukarya? It's from her house. And so he added, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He, Christ, for now, is the Prince of Peace. But that peace is in the millennium, not now. For now, blessed be the name of the Lord. For now, Matthew 11 verse 12, he says, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by force. You have to dissect these scriptures. These scriptures, they are there for you and for me, for born again Christians, to help us in our Christian journey. We're looking at the cross of Calvary, the cross of Jesus Christ. Joshua, the angel of God promised him, as I was with Moses, that is how I will be with you. He said, anywhere the soles of your feet shall tread upon, he said, I give them to you, you will possess it. It's true now. Oh, thus said the Lord. Oh, yes. Thus said the Lord. Sister, this is your year. Amen. This year, the Lord said you will possess your possession. Amen. Oh, ah, Father, I thank you. Joseph, I have made you a king. Even your father, your mother, your brothers, your elder brother, they will bow before you. Hey! A king, that's who I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God did not show Joseph the battle that he will fight before he will possess his possession. That is how it is with every one of us, church. Every promise of God in the Bible that you will claim belong to you, you will possess it. But Joshua, in the land of promise that God gave them, every inch of land that Israel claimed in the promised land, they fought a battle before they possessed it. Unless you catch that, you will miss what Christianity is all about. And it is better you prepare yourself. It's better you prepare yourself that there is a battle. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art called. Fight the good fight of faith. Christianity is a battleground. Jude verse 3, he says, contend, he said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've decided to give your life to Christ. Amen. A rich young ruler got attracted to Jesus Christ. Like so many of us today. Let's open it. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We know the story from verse 17. Mark chapter 10 verse 17. And when he was come forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Master, good master, What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Hallelujah. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is not good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery. That one, it is very easy to stop now. Hallelujah. It is very easy. Do not kill. It's very easy. I will not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. So that's one. Hallelujah. Is that all that I need to go to heaven? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Please just excuse me. Where is the technician there? Where is this boy? Where is this boy? Where is Samuel? Let him correct something distracting me here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which verse am I? Come. Come, come. Please bear with me. Come quickly. Come and stand here. There's one feedback coming from this microphone. I don't hear him. They hear him. Stand here. When you hear him, there you go. Verse. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him. Wait, did they go? You hear him? You don't hear him? Oh, okay. Praise God. Okay. You see the fault now. They send her from there. Is it from there? Praise God. They send a whole speaker. Okay. Please bear with me. It was distracting me. Verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, rich young ruler. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and see where I am going. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Rich young ruler, sell all you have, and take up the cross. As at this point, Jesus has not yet gone to the cross. But Jesus was a prophet. The cross was a symbol of shame. The cross was a symbol of suffering. That is why in that hymn 167 we sang, that songwriter, that's why I love this hymn book so much. The songwriter there, he was saying it. He says, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Say, the emblem of suffering and shame. He said, and I love that old cross. We are the dearest and the best. For a world of lost sinners was slain. The dearest and the best, the Lord Jesus Christ. For you and me, he was slain on that shameful cross. He said it again. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world. In the third stanza there, he said, in the old rugged cross, stained with blood, so divine. The symbol of shame. The symbol of suffering. He told the rich young ruler, if you want eternal life, because that's what he was looking for. If you want eternal life, he said, sell all you have. Now, church, I am speaking to spiritual people. I am not telling you to go and sell all you have and go and make a cross and hang on your neck. and say, I want to, I'm going to heaven. No! They are symbolically presented to us. It symbolizes something. It symbolizes sacrifices that you will have to make if you will get this eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let that person, let him deny himself and take up his cross every Sunday. Take up his cross on Christmas Day. Take up his cross when? When? Every day. Daily. And follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, where he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what I am preaching, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. It says, therefore sin is a clouds of, we have clouds of witnesses all around us. He was referring to those witnesses he listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Heroes of faith. What they went through. This Bible has clouds of witnesses on how they walked this Christian journey. And one of them is Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is one of the witnesses. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, he made a statement. He said, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. That is, he is suffering the sufferings of the cross because the gospel of the cross he was preaching and he was suffering. But there was a group of people that were preaching circumcision. That is, they were still injecting the Jewish, the law, the Old Testament law into grace. Teaching the people that they should still go and do physical circumcision when now circumcision is no longer physical, but it's now of the heart, to make room for the whole world to come into Christ. Because this New Testament now involves both the Jews and the Gentiles. And he was preaching with that revelation, and for standing for this rugged truth, they were persecuting him up and down. In that scripture, he was saying, if all of us are to preach circumcision, then why will I be suffering all that I'm going through? And he listed some of the sufferings that he went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's open it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Apostle Paul. And he is the standard bearer for the Gentiles. Amen. Let me just pick it from verse 22. Let's see what he was saying here. Because some people came and they were boasting of their ministry. And so he too came. Don't think that me too. I have something that I can lay claim to as far as this gospel is concerned. And he wanted them to know who he is and what he has gone through for the gospel's sake. We have heard Sister Eukaria what she has gone through for the gospel's sake. Every one of us that has truly made that decision, you must also have a story you will tell for what the consequence of the decision you made, if it is a genuine decision you have made, church, there is a consequence. There is a price, brother. There is a price. If you have no story to tell yet, don't relax. Your story is coming. If it is a genuine decision you have made. Certainly. Oh, we keep saying Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When it comes to healing, deliverance, breakthrough, he did it yesterday, he will do it again today. Ha! That is the water that flows. What of the blood? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same. It's the same. Verse 22, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, because a Christian should not boast. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Because it is wrong for a minister to say, I serve God more than you. But Apostle Paul said, allow me to speak this foolishness to drive home my point. Then he began to mention it. Hallelujah. Which verse am I? 23. He said, in labors more abundant. That is, he labored for the gospel more than anybody else. In stripes, where he received cane, where they cane and tire. Above measure. In prisons, more often. In deaths, that is threat to his life. Oft. That is, it was very common. Now, hear his testimony from verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He received 39 stripes. For how many times? Hey, 5 times. Not because he stole. Oh. Not because he went anywhere and took anybody's wife. Oh. Not because he cheated anybody. Oh. Not because he insulted anybody. Oh. But because of this way, this gospel he was preaching. 5 times they cane him. Lie down. Give him 39 stripes. Give him. Piam. Piam. Verse 35. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, inside ocean. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watches awful, in hunger and thirst, in fastings awful, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? And I am not weak? Who is offended? And I burn up? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. What's your own testimony? As Apostle Paul. Then you understand why he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10, where he says, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It is certain. All that will live godly in Christ, he said, they shall suffer persecution. Why? Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. Praise God. Just borrow a little sentence there that make us understand. Let me read it. Verse 16. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. It was given interpretation of the various soils. And verse 16 says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction, that's where I'm going, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Why is affliction and persecution arising? What is the reason? What is the reason? For the word's sake. See, let me say this. You have not observed with some people, as long as you are in error, serving God in error, you will prosper. Devil will make sure he deceive you that it is well, it is well. That is it. Apostle Paul was telling Timothy that anybody that teaches different from teaching the people about contentment, godliness with contentment, that people that teach thinking that gain is godliness, gain is, that is, those who teach all this prosperity, the evidence that God is with you is, you can't you see, since my ministry started, can't you see the number of cars? Somebody was, a preacher was giving a testimony on the television that 3 years ago I was begging food to eat, but now you can see, now it's a multimillionaire. Now see the number of cars he has in his entourage. And look at that crowd very well. See women with trousers. See women dressing naked there. The crowd that has followed him within the last 3 years. And look at all of them. And somebody will look at that man and say, ah, that is evidence God is with him. My Bible tells me, we have read it together. Once you have received the truth, persecutions will start. Once you have received the truth, once you have received eternal life, once you have received genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, your problems begin. Battles begin. Once you have made up your mind to live a godly life as a young boy, as a young girl, Apostle Paul say, they that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It is part of the cross. Once afflictions and persecutions arise for the word's sake, as long as that young girl will remain with Guru Maharaj, no problem. You want to go to school? We'll take you to the best school. We'll give you a car. We'll take you overseas. No problem. But remain, oh glory be to God, remain a guru. Once you can remain serving that cult, the cult you join, once you can stay there faithfully every year donate one human being, one blood. And it's very easy to get blood. Very easy. Very easy. Small 100,000 naira. You give one, that is enough for him to take his Igbo. That's all. He'll tell you how many you want. I met one of them that said the easiest business is assassination. He said, no, be just one time. He bah! He said, the person don't die. He said, okay, give me my money. Give me my money. Once you can supply that shrine blood, no problem. But the day you say, no, I have made up my mind. I want to face, I want to go to heaven. I want to be a Christian. Once you make up your mind, that day battle will start. Amen. See, have you observed that anybody that was serving Christ and you decided you are not serving him again, you are going to Guru Maharaj, do you know that Christ will not come and pursue you? That is the only religion. All other religions in the world, if you leave that God and turn to Christianity, they will follow you. They will pursue you. All that will live godly in Christ shall, it is thus said the Lord, shall suffer persecution. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the truth is this. It is not just making a decision. Just if you just stay and say, Kai, now I know we'll go Guru Maharaj again. From now on, now church, I'm going to go now. Now, you are the one, you have made a decision. But what is it that propels you to make that decision? It is that thing that propels you to make that decision that will see you through the consequence of your decision. Church, listen, let me repeat what I'm saying. If you make a decision, there is something that propels you to make that decision. And depending on what propelled you, it is the thing that propels you to make that decision that will see you through the consequence of that decision. So, it depends. There are some people that made such decisions and they went back. Why? The thing that propelled them to make that decision is not strong enough to withstand the consequence. Therefore, they have to come back so that they can have some peace. When I was in the world, what happened? All doors closed. When I say I become Christian, no favor anywhere again. Which can't thing be this? You will endure. You will endure. I have seen women who came here. After some time, I don't see them again. But when I jammed them on the bus stop, on the road, somewhere, when they were here, no makeup. When they were here, hallelujah, no earring. In fact, they were healing and deliverance. God's will was their leader. They were here sharing tracts. Bride. On top of their Bible, bride sticker is there. But why did they make that decision? Time will tell why they made that decision. They made that decision believing that if I stop this, maybe God go see, then give me a husband. So they waited, 6 months passed. 1 year pass. Okay. I will join environment ministry. Maybe as at the cut grass, God will give me husband. Okay, make I change. I go join. Join this group. Join that group. After some time, the more they change, the more they wait, the harder life becomes around them. Before you know what. Say, God, you see, say, I try. God, you see, say, I try. Not only women, including men. Some people are here because of business breakthrough. You decided to face Christ for business breakthrough. You waited the first year, the second year, the thing no go. You say, nah, my person not stay here. I don't understand what's going to happen. Nah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What made a man to suffer the type of suffering that he suffered on earth here? What made that man, Jesus Christ, to suffer the type of suffering that he suffered? The Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 12, hallelujah, he says, Christ, for the joy that was set before him. Let's open it. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, it's good we catch that. Hallelujah. Now, it's good we catch it. Hebrews chapter 12. It speaks about verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him, what joy? Christ had a revelation of the position he will occupy if he can obey the Father and suffer all that shame and all that suffering and die that shameful death on the cross of Calvary. Something was propelling him. It is revelation. There was a revelation he got that nobody else got. He got that revelation. I know that if I can endure, I am going to occupy a position that, and a name will be given to me, that at the mention of that name, every knee must bow. When he resurrected, in Matthew chapter 19, and verse, which verse is that? Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28 verse 18. He came after his resurrection. He came before the disciples and he made this proclamation. He said, all power is given to me. He could not say that before he went to the cross. But now he resurrected. That was what he saw. All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, I give you authority. Go ye out and preach the gospel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He saw himself in the millennium sitting as a king of kings. If he can endure. What he saw, the glory that was ahead, was what propelled him. No matter what you did to him, kick him, he's looking at what he stands to gain if he will not give up. Sister Eukaria, the first thing that God did to her was give her a revelation for rapture. Inside Guru Maharaj, other Guru Maharaj followers did not see what she saw. So, her own type of faith will be different from the faith of others sitting down there. In the church here too, your Christian faith is determined by the revelation you have concerning what is coming ahead. There are people that are in the church, they don't believe there is hell. There are some people that God will come and visit them and show them heaven and show them hell. Hey! So this hell is... in fact, there are some of you that you saw the vision of rapture and you saw everybody went and you didn't go. God is telling you, rapture is real. Prepare, if not, you will not go. Now, such a person that comes out of that revelation, his Christianity will be different from another brother, another sister that is following. Revelation matters. What is it that propels the decision you have taken? What is it motivating you in your Christian life? Some people coming to church is religion. Whereas some is a duty. Why is some religion and some a duty? It's a revelation. It's something that pushes, because there are some people, you are here because of who you are staying with. If you don't follow to come to church, you leave my house. You say, make I not offend this man. I mean, where could they go? They're going to follow to go. I just pray every day, God, give me money, make you set me free from this man. Give me my own money. It's true now. They're waiting for the day you will get married so that you will leave this, your papa, where they're very strict. It's true. Now, such people are sitting out here, brother, sister. That is why Christianity is an individual affair. You don't know where, what is propelling this one, what is propelling you. Your own is, face yourself and stop comparing yourself with anybody. It's not everybody sitting down here that is ready to go to heaven. You must catch that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul, what was propelling him in his own? What was propelling Apostle Paul? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's read his own. Let's read Paul's own. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you are there, praise God. That is for Apostle Paul. Verse 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is his own revelation. God opened his eye to see something. But as it is written, eye has not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see? For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Apostle Paul, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things that God has prepared. He said, nobody has seen it. Mouth cannot say it. But he said, but it has been revealed to us by his Spirit. That means Apostle Paul saw the glory that is ahead. He saw a glory that is ahead for those who will serve this Jesus in spirit and in truth. That is why, go to Romans chapter 8, the same Apostle Paul. Now you understand why he made that statement in verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? See him mentioning them. Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, that's where I am going. He, Apostle Paul, is convinced, is persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before he can say, if you want to kill me, kill me! I will not change my stand. There is something that is propelling him. It's a revelation of the future. Not too many Christians have caught that revelation. If not, there will be a commensurate sacrifice that will go with your decision. Not too many Christians have caught that. Like, not too many. Okay, let me give you one more witness. Just one more witness. Abraham, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrew. This is the commentary concerning Abraham, verse 13. This is what he said. Hallelujah. all those witnesses that he listed from verse 1. Then in verse 13 he said, all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. In the Old Testament, God revealed something to them that was afar off coming. Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. Did he see the nations? Did he see the nations? In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Did he see the seed? Did he see Jesus Christ? He didn't see him. But just that revelation he received. See how he stood with God and walked with God. Okay, let me read on. But having seen them afar off, and we are persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned like Lot's wife. Like Lot's wife. Verse 16. But now, they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Oh, God Almighty, help somebody to catch this, Lord. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. What is Apostle Paul using to teach us here? He said, they had some revelation of the future. They knew that there is a place that is prepared for them. That place that is prepared, that city, they knew. They were looking forward to it because they knew that is where God said they were going. They lived their life like pilgrims, like strangers on earth. Because they knew. And come. Are you living in your house, an auntie, or rented house? Rented house. You're living in a rented house. Now, will you waste time to decorate that house, build that house, build, change the gates?
No, sir.
Change everything, restructure it to make it, eh?
No, sir.
Why?
It's not my house, sir.
It's not your house. It's a temporary place. This world is not my home. See, when people are inspired to sing some songs, you now understand where they got their revelation from. Jim Reeves, that sang these songs in the early 60s, those songs are still alive till now. Some glad morning, when it's over, I fly away to my home
on God's celestial shore.
I fly away. Hallelujah! I fly away. Oh, glory. I fly away. To
when I die.
Hallelujah! By and by. Hallelujah. And he flew in a plane after this song, and that plane crashed and he died. He flew away. Praise the Lord. He said, Apostle Paul, he said, these people lived like strangers and pilgrims. Every Christian, we are supposed to live our life like strangers and pilgrims. We are not the moneylenders of this earth. We are not. That's why Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said he should teach the people to live a life of godliness with contentment. Struggle for what to eat and struggle for shelter. Just what to eat and what to wear. All this, how have houses in Dubai, have houses in London, have houses in Abuja, have houses, houses, houses everywhere. That is why you have no more time for fellowship. You have no time to pray. You have no time to check your spiritual life. Ah! Where are you taking them to? Praise God. Every year, this is a new year now. We have entered a new year. We are going closer to the coming of the Lord. Concerning the coming of the Lord. But remember, he's coming through two different ways. He can come by death. And nobody knows when he will die. See? They live like strangers. Can I read on? Where am I? Which verse am I? Hallelujah. Let me read that verse 16 again. But now they desire a better country. How many of us desire that better country here? Better country than Nigeria. It's not America. Better country. It's not London. It's not Europe. Better country. There's no better country on earth here. Better than in the city where the Lamb is the Lamb. Oh, the city where there cometh no night. Have a mansion over there, and went free from toil again. Oh, I am going where the Lamb is the Lamb. A city is better than any other city. Hallelujah. The type of song that should be in the heart of every believer now. I looked over Jordan. What did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Oh, coming for to carry me. Oh, hallelujah. Sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me. Oh, sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me. Hallelujah. Church, I want to knock off some sermons out of your head, out of your brain. They are making seminars, conventions, and inviting world-renowned motivational speakers to tell you how to become a millionaire and make it and possess this earth. But I'm here to knock that nonsense off and make it to be more heavenly bound in your thinking, in your thoughts, in a moment like this. There is a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. And we only reach the shore by first degree. Oh, one by one we gain the portals, there to dwell with the immortals. When the ring, the golden bells for you and me. Oh, not to hear the bells now ringing, not to hear the angels singing. It's a glory, hallelujah. Jubilee in the far of sweet forever, just beyond the shining light. When the ring, the golden bells for you. One more time. Oh, don't you hear?
Don't you hear
the bells are ringing?
Don't you hear
the angels singing? Glory, hallelujah, jubilee.
forever, just beyond the shining river. When the ring, the golden bell for you and me.
Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the golden bells have sounded. The jubilee has sounded. Come out of that nonsense. Prepare yourself. It's homegoing time. I hope you are not thinking I am preaching against prosperity. I hope you are not thinking I'm preaching against prosperity. Eh? If you have any business that will give you 1 billion naira today, chase it. Chase it. And bring your tithe here. Yeah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chase that money. Prepare for your marriage, Brother Charles. You must marry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's coming back again. My Lord is coming back again. I promise that he's coming back. Oh, he's coming back again.
My Lord is coming back again.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
He's coming back again.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't want you to be confused in your Christian journey. There is the water side of the cross. There is the bloody side of the cross. Praise the Lord. Let me emphasize something. I say, what price have you paid for the gospel? Verse 36 of that Hebrew. We are reading Hebrew chapter 11. Verse 36. Hear what he said. Not only Abraham. He said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourges. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. We are tempted. We are slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Like Sister Eukaria, live in a completed building. I didn't say everybody living in a completed building is living there for Christ, though. Because she had a beautiful accommodation. She's from a fine family background. But she was paying a price for the decision. Hallelujah. Verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, they still did not receive the promise. Receive not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And now we have the perfect thing. And see what some of us are playing and joking with our faith. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And one thing I know about this God is that there is no decision you make for him that there is no reward that we follow. He that cometh to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There is an assurance that goes with this decision to follow him. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fountain of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washing his blood. Oh, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Raising my Savior all the day long. Hallelujah. Anytime the devil tries to make it look as if you are serving God in vain by bringing frustration in your way, no work, no helper, mockers everywhere around you, frustrations everywhere, these are the kind of songs you should sing. Wake up in the midnight, like Paul and Silas did, and sing songs that will tell the devil he's wasting his time. There's a song in Hymn 289 that says, faith, faith is at leisure. Jesus is break every tender down. Jesus is dark is the wilderness and has no resting place. Jesus alone can save. Jesus is with me, everybody now.
Step not my soul away. Oh, Jesus is mine.
Yeah. Forever, forever, forever.
Jesus,
yes, sir.
Oh, perishing things of day. Oh, but for one brief day, pass from my heart away. Oh, Jesus is mine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Say to the devil, say to the devil.
There were mortality. Jesus is mine.
Yes, sir.
There come eternity. Oh, Jesus is mine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First stanza again. Let's sing that first stanza again. Everybody. Yes, sir. Everybody now.
Each and each. Jesus is mine. Everything that I am. Jesus alone can save. Oh, Jesus is mine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Death not my soul. Yes, sir.
Death not my soul. Oh, Jesus is mine.
Yes, sir.
Where will I ever stay?
Yes, sir.
Jesus.
Things of it. Oh, but for one brief day,
pass from my heart away.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
is mine. Welcome eternity.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is mine.
Oh,
welcome, oh love and bless.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome, my Savior.
Oh, yeah. Now listen, listen, listen.
Living below, it is so simple. I have a comfort can afford. Striving alone to this temptation song. Where will I go but to the? Oh, where will I go?
Where will I go?
Oh, where will I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a prayer to help me in that.
Hallelujah!
Where will I go?
Yes, sir. Everybody now.
Neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We together, our bodies still are born.
Yes, sir.